Well, before I begin with the message, I feel like probably first might be good to kind of give you an idea of where I'm from and some of the experience we've had just real shortly, just to kind of let you know that this isn't my first time speaking. My wife and I moved here from Florida. We've been here for going on three years now. And through the course of events, my wife and I, we've served in ministry. And kind of give you an idea of how that was. At the beginning, which we're talking about the early 90s, I tended to be a little more impetuous. So I thought, you just go out, you go to Bible school, you get your ministry, you get it incorporated, and you go out and you have a ministry. Well, that's what the world tells you, and that's kind of what I tried to do. And for 10 years, struggled with it. We had some good things. My wife and I were able to live in the country of Ukraine and did some teaching at a Bible college there, which is really a life-changing event. But after listening to Pastor Dave, I realized that I'd got the cart in front of the horse. You don't go out and make ministry and then go and be a minister. First, you change on the inside. And you become the person that God can use. And then He begins to use you. So as I stand here tonight, I've gone through the wrong direction. I've experienced all of that. I came here doing the message. And now I'm here to deliver a word to you. What we're going to talk about tonight, it has to do with something that I've noticed and something that the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me about. And I know that some of you in the audience, both here and listening by MP3 or whatever it is that you're listening to, you do this message and you come under attack. And I know that there are many people in this room right now that have been under some serious attack. And I know for myself, my wife and I, in the last, probably the last 12 months, have been under some enormous attack. Just to give you a little idea of what I'm talking about as far as how attacks go. And I know you can probably give me your stories. But I accepted a job about, well, it was April of last year, which should have been a nice increase for myself. Turned out 3 weeks into the job, I was fired. Which, if you've ever been fired, that's a very devastating thing. Especially whenever you didn't deserve it, and you just flat out got fired. So I ended up for about the 6 months after that, up until September, looking for work. Praying, asking God, why did you let this happen? I prayed, and I really felt a release that I was supposed to be going in this direction. And this is where I ended up. And not a lot of comfort in the answer that I received, because the answer, He led me back to, and He showed me out of Philippians. When Paul ended up in that prison, he was following the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the leadership of the Holy Spirit is going to take you places that your flesh is not going to like. And you're going to end up in situations that you would rather not be in. And I feel like we're experiencing some of that right now. A lot of us have moved across the country to come to this church. And you tell somebody outside the church that you've done that, and they think you're crazy. You know, tell somebody, yeah, we lived in West Palm Beach, Florida. We sold our house and moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. They think you are nuts. But we came here for a purpose. And that purpose was to get into this message, get under the leadership that's here to grow, to develop, to be used. Along the way, there is an enemy. And he will try to shake you. He'll try to do everything he can. He's not nice. He doesn't play fair. Anything he tries to do is to destroy you. And you have to understand that. But in the midst of him trying to destroy you, you cannot let that take you into dread. Okay? You can't dread this message. You can't dread what the enemy might do to you next. And you know, I've kind of found that myself. You know, you see two little kids playing, and I use a lot of examples because that's how I get my point across. See two little kids playing, and they're sitting there punching each other, you know, and one of them give a punch, the other one kind of flinches backwards because he's expecting it. I think spiritually we do that sometimes. We've been hit so many times that we're almost expecting if we step out here, we're going to get punched. And we kind of, as a result, we step back a little bit because we don't want to get punched again. Does anybody relate to that? Because I feel that way. And what we're going to look at is the answer that God gave me for some of this. And part of it was, well, the main thrust of this message is going to be about fasting. I'm sorry about that. Don't throw anything, please. I fought with this because, you know, on the one hand, you know, and getting your lights beat out all the time. On the other hand, it's like, okay, here's the answer, Mark. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to subject my flesh to this. And you know, I'd rather just get beat up. So that's not really the right answer. What I want to do is I want to start with, this is what I call it. This is a daily communication where the Holy Ghost, I sit and I listen. It's like what Gary talks about, what Pastor Dave talks about. I listen. I listen to what he's saying to me and I write it down. You know, is it 100% God? I do the best I can. You know, you can judge for yourself. But I'm gonna read to you, and some of this is not real flattering, to be honest. This came to me December the 20th. It was a Saturday of last year. My message to you today is simple. You don't love others as I love you. That's not a statement of condemnation. It's a statement of fact. In order for you to stand before my people and proclaim my word to them as my representative in the earth, I require that you love them. It's not possible for you to love them anywhere close to the measure that I do. But that at this moment, you're not even close. I didn't really want to hear that. And that's not something I'd write down about myself. So at the bottom of this, and I'm not going to go through all of this because some of it is just, I'm not near as open as what Gary is. So that was enough what I just told you. He said, you have the opportunity to break out of this trap and allow love to become your sole motivation. Love is who I am. When love is your sole motivation, you see people through my eyes. And no longer do you look at others for what they can do for you. I have a strong dislike for any actions which arise out of a desire to reap a return from them, especially those actions in my name, when the underlying motivation being, what will this do for me? What I'm asking of you, Mark, I'm asking you to offer yourself at a higher level than just words. This will require you offering your flesh on my altar through fasting. I know you have known for a while that I wanted you to fast, and that's true. I'd known for quite some time that fasting was in his mind, but I had every kind of excuse on why I couldn't fast. The job that I have now, which is nothing like the job I used to have, It's a very physical job, very demanding. I could sense that fasting and trying to do this job was going to be really, really hard. And I just did not want to try this. And a very dear friend of mine sat down with me and said, basically, you can do something. And that's the truth. You can do something. Now, let me preface everything that I say when I talk about fasting, that each of us are at a different place. Each of our physical bodies are different. Before you really start doing any serious fasting, get Pastor Dave's fasting series. Go to your doctor. That would be what I would do. Find out, make sure that you don't hurt yourself. Because, yeah, you can end up in an emergency room, and that's not the place you want to be at. And that's not God's objective. God wants you to offer yourself through this fasting. He wants you to put to death the part of you that's holding back your miracle, your answer. He wants this to be the thing that propels you out of the cycle of getting your brains beat in by the enemy. And yes, praying in tongues will do a lot for you. But as Pastor Davis told us, praying in tongues will not do what worship can do. Worship cannot do what fasting will do. So if you say, I pray in tongues 60 hours a week, I don't need fasting. Well, you just eliminated some portion of the answer that you can't get from praying in tongues. So please keep that in mind. We're going to be looking in Philippians tonight because, for one reason, when this all started, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to meditate on Philippians. Just read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. So I've been reading it. And I want to read a few notes here. I like notes. The title of the message tonight is A Life of Joy. A Life of Joy. Everyone wants to live a life of joy, don't they? I do. I'm tired of feeling like I've been kicked around by the enemy. I want joy. Now, don't confuse joy and happiness, because it's two different things. I believe Paul had joy in the prison. But if you think he was happy there, there's no way. Happiness is part of the emotions. Happiness can come and go. Joy is the fruit that comes out of your new nature. You have to cultivate this. You have to do something to put down the flesh so that joy can come forth. And I think that that in itself is going to help bring us out of this cycle that we feel that we're being attacked and attacked. The attacks are still going to be there. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, as I read through Philippians, the one thing that I never saw in anything that Paul said was a complaint about his circumstances. He never related anything about how nasty the prison was. He never related anything about the chains, the bondage. He didn't talk about the food. He didn't talk about any of his present circumstances. And we'll look at some scriptures about that. The first scripture I want to look at, though, is chapter 2 in Philippians. And let's start in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm going to read the Amplified for that. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting. In this job that I have, and I'm going to use some of this to kind of explain what I'm talking about. In this job that I have, you know, my responsibility, go in the back room, get the soda, take it out, put it on the shelf. You know, not rocket science. And a lot of times this is heavy stuff. I mean, you get 8 2-liter bottles in this case and you carry it out. And I have had so many opportunities to grumble and complain and to fuss at God for why am I here? Why did this happen? You know, I used to be a district manager. I had people I hired, I fired. And now, look at this. And there was another day that he spoke to me, and what he said was, I have you where I have you for a reason. You can't go anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right where you're at. And I was like, oh, okay. Anytime I sit down to look through the help wanted, on the inside of me, I hear, why are you wasting your time? Or my time? So what I'm saying is, we murmur, we complain, we fuss about why our circumstances are the way they are. He said in the verse before that, if you look, it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. As we cultivate this new nature, as we develop this relationship with the Holy Ghost, as we follow in the path that He has laid out for us, He doesn't have like multiple choice in your life, in the path that you're going to walk in. For example, me standing up here right now, I didn't call anybody and ask them to do this. Okay? This was the Holy Ghost speaking to my heart at the same time He's speaking to somebody else's heart. And Him orchestrating all of this. That's how He works. So, my decision to follow the path, yes, I decide if I'm going to do this, but it's Him that lays out the path. And it's me that does the following. And whenever I mess that up, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, and then I just cry out to God. And He says, okay, I'll come and straighten things out again, put you right back where I want you to be at, send you right down the path again, because I have a will inside of me that has lined up with His will, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What does He want for us? Paul did not have an idea when he was growing up. Gee, I think I want to end up in a Roman prison. That was not what he had planned for his life. But I want to show you something that I had never seen before. Look in chapter 1 of Philippians. I'm going to look in verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Gee, isn't that what it's all about? It's not about bigger cars and VCRs and pools and everything else. And this is part of what he's showing me, that we have to fight against that deception that the true joy is in a life that matches what the world says is correct. Because that's not. I mean, one might be happy. Happiness is fleeting. We have joy when we have that fruit coming forth, when we're following His plan, no matter where it takes us, no matter what attacks might come our way, when we know that this is God. That's what Paul had. When you read this letter, he's not focused on himself at all. Look back at. Let's start at the beginning, chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now listen to this. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. His heart is for those people. You know, this kind of a silly example, but we walk around and we're belly button minded. We're so focused on ourselves and our own little world that we've created. Paul in this prison is writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, always in every prayer that I pray for you. He's not saying, where are you all? You should be praying for me. I'm suffering. Do you see me suffering here? He's not saying that. He's saying, I am praying for you. How many of us in that same situation would be focused on ourselves? He's not. He's not focused on himself. He's not saying, oh, poor me. My wife, Debbie. She's a very good person about keeping me straight from feeling sorry for myself. We've been married for 16 years, and I don't think there's been hardly any time at all that she's let me mope around about myself. She usually kicks me in the back end and gets me going again. And I'm thankful for that, because I need that sometimes. But Paul's not thinking that way. And I'm going to show you towards the end why he isn't and how he isn't. Because that's what's important. Because if we can find out what it is that Paul did to get this way, then we can get that way too. Because this might not be too much of a revelation to you, but this world is changing very rapidly. And it is not looking as favorable for those of us who are Christians as it did 20, 30 years ago. And if you look in the back in Revelations, it talks about how it's going to get worse. Imagine that. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for what might come that challenges you in a real physical way? Your walk with the Lord. Your stand for Jesus. Because, you know, a few laws can get passed here and there, and the next thing you know, there's things that if you say it from the pulpit, you're going to be arrested and sent to jail. If you say things publicly, you could end up in jail. Are you ready for that? Or are you still trying to just believe for your own little world to be complete? I want you to see that we have to get past our own little world, our own the comforts of life being just so, and then we're happy. I want you to see that you have to focus on developing the man on the inside. And I know we know about developing. I know I'm speaking to the choir here in a lot of cases. But when it comes down to the fasting part, honestly, I've never seen anybody that says, I like fasting. Never found that. But I think that to get through some of what we need to get through, that's what we're going to have to do. And some of us are right now. I mean, this is the season that our church, Pastor Dave, goes into fasting. If you're already fasting right now, thank God for it. If you're not, and you're like I was, and you're struggling with it, I believe that the reason that He wants me to speak this is because He's going to follow this up with some grace to help you. Because I have to tell you, this is some of the easiest fasting that I've ever done. Now, I'm not going to get into the detail of what I'm doing because, you know, do what you can do, but do something. Do something. I know he gave me some instructions that he's going to change it up when we get into February. It's like, thank God. Get out of January and get into February. Maybe have a little more food here. But, you know, if you're struggling right now and you're feeling like I did, the person I described at the beginning, where you feel like it's just one punch right after the next. If you feel like you're the one that's on the defensive and you're just, you know, you're just kind of waiting for that next slug, this is going to put you on the offensive. This is going to put you in a position that the enemy doesn't want you to be in. And that's one of the reasons he fought me so bad. Because he knew, in another word, God showed me this. He knew the moment that I started and I saw some and had some sense of success, that was just all I needed. And it was the beginning of it. Just starting it, that was the big challenge. Well, I'll just go ahead and read that right now. I was going to read it later, but maybe he wants me to read it now. This is what he spoke to me January the 2nd. Congratulations, Mark. You have won the first battle in the war of fasting. The first battle to be won is the battle of beginning. The enemy is so successful at stopping believers at the onset of their attempt at fasting. As a result, many never win the war of beginning. That's where he's going to put up the biggest fight. Just getting you to do it. If he can stop you before you take that first step, he's got you. And I'll be honest with you, it was weeks and weeks and weeks that I kept pushing that idea, that thought, fasting. No, I'd rather just keep getting my head beat off. I don't want to fast. But you know, like I'm saying to you, when I started, he was there. He brought the grace. He helped me get through the tough spots. Yeah, there's difficult times. The fasting isn't fun. But the change is worth it. The change that's produced because you have put a little bit more of that flesh to death, it's worth it. If I can whet your appetite for anything, it's this. Try to fast. Try to do something. And let God move in on your efforts and carry you where you feel like you can't make it. Amen? Is that encouragement? He will do it. He will meet you at that point where you say, here I am. He'll meet you right there. I can attest to that. So let's go on and talk a little bit more about Paul. Paul knew that his path was going to lead to Rome. He knew because in the book of Acts, and we're going to turn over to this and look at this. In the book of Acts, chapter 23, and we're looking at verse 11, 23, 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Also look over at Acts 27. And verse 23 and 24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul knew that he was going to find himself in Rome one day. And when he found himself in Rome, and he found himself imprisoned, he knew that this was where God had led him into. And the reason I point this out is because the leadership of the Holy Ghost is going to take you places that aren't comfortable. And a lot of times it's because there's some hardness that needs to be worked into you. And the only way you're going to experience that is by walking through it. You know, we can sit here and tell you about how something is, but until you experience it, until you have that pressure against you and you fight back and you fight your way out of it, trusting God, until you do it yourself, you're only listening to stories that other people tell of their experiences. You know, we hear time and time again where Paul talks about being a good soldier, being a soldier. You know, this is an army. We're following a leader that died on the cross. That's the example that we have in front of us. And we expect this is going to be easy. It's not. I'm sorry to say, this is not going to be easy. But along the way, we don't have to suffer and dread and just hate it, hate life, because there's something inside of us, a joy and a peace that can come forth because we have cultivated it, because we have put enough flesh to death that enough of God can come forth through our new nature, and we can live in that joy. You know, Smith Wigglesworth lived there. I went to Bible college at Lester Summerall's. And I still remember in the Sunday morning classes when Lester would teach, he would talk about how he would go over to Smith Wigglesworth's house. And you would think, what great revelation must have transpired there. He said he would go there and listen to Smith read the Bible. That's all he did. He would sit and listen to Smith read the Bible. And it was the way he read it. It was the relationship that he had with Jesus that when he read it, the words would just penetrate Lester and change him. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Smith Wigglesworth and letting him read the Bible to you? Well, surrounded by these horrible circumstances, what did Paul focus on? Always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. Regardless of the horrible circumstances, Paul knew the objective. The objective was being accomplished. Paul had abandoned his own life for the sake of the life God had given him. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I want to go back a little bit more. Let's go to verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This man could have been what a leader to those that were Jewish. What a leader he could have been. And he's saying right here, all of that, all of those accomplishments, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, nothing. He says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I lay everything aside. I count all those earthly accomplishments nothing. I'm focused on one thing. I'm single-minded. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I want my testimony to be when I die. Not that I was successful in this life in the natural. You know, if that's what the plan involves, that's fine. But my objective is the goal that He set before me, whatever that goal is. That's what I want to accomplish. I don't care about anything that I've done. Any person that I think that I am is irrelevant. What's important is what He set before me as that mark to achieve. And I want to march towards that at whatever the cost. And there's a cost to be paid. If you look over at chapter 1, here's a little verse here, Philippians 1, a little verse that you hardly hear preached. Look at it, starting in 28. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also," and I didn't write this, "to suffer for His sake." What's the suffering? I'm not talking about the suffering that you hear religion talking about. What I'm talking about is the suffering when I want to go this way, Lord, but I know that You want me to go this way. Okay, going to the right is convenient, it's easy, there's a lot of money there, there's a lot of prestige, people will look up to me. Going this way is not fun, not prestigious. I'm going to have to believe You for my income, because my income isn't enough to pay all my bills. That can't be You, God, can it? Yes, Mark, it is. Well, that's not very fun. I like this direction better. I got a college degree. I'm well spoken. People will do what I tell them to do, and companies pay me a good amount of money for that. But Mark, that's not the direction I have for you. I want you to go this way. Not what I want to do. Well, is this about me or you? Is this your life or the life that You gave to me? Which one is it? And you say, okay, I'll go this way. I'll take the path on the left. I'll work for somebody that is like half my age. That hurts, too. I'll do this horrible manual labor job because I know you want to teach me something. I know you want me to learn something in this process. And that's what we're talking about right now, tonight, the process. Having joy in the process. There's something he wants me to learn here. I don't know what it is. Hopefully I learned it. My wife says, quickly, Mark, quickly. But while I'm there, bless God, I am not going to dread this. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I see some of you kicking yourself into this church at times, and it looks like you're ready to fall over. There has to be some joy here. There has to. What are we going to attract people with if it's not the joy that's coming out of the inside of us? Oh, Lord. This guy's talking about fasting, and I don't have no money, and I'm sick all the time. What's that? That's not what this is about. We have something. Let me tell you. We have something the world needs. They're finding out right now they can't trust the money in their pocket. They're finding out they can't trust the government, unfortunately. They can't trust anything. That's where they're at. And if we allow ourselves to be so blinded because of our own circumstances, and we focus on ourselves, and we focus on our belly button, and we don't look at the world around us, and we don't share what we know works, then we're going to miss the greatest opportunity of our lives. This is what we're here for. Amen? That's why we're here. We want to attract. We want to be attractive to the world. And it's going to require us to die a little more. A little bit more. I told you at the beginning that I would show you how Paul did what he did. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at two passages. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. Probably we'll start off at the beginning of chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And believe me, I'm not just preaching this to you. I'm preaching this and I'm listening to it myself. I'm living this myself. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, I'm going to begin at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, oh my goodness, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Yeah. Can we rip some of that? Okay. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27. Let's start verse 23 instead. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I. Now, this is just, when I read this, I think a lot of times we read this and we don't really comprehend what this man went through. I mean, just think about this. Envision, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. And just stop right there. Okay, he did this not once, but five times. Once is plenty. Five times. Okay, verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. You know, we've heard the stories about David Hogan, maybe some of you haven't, but I know most of us have. He's a missionary to the indigenous people in Mexico. This person fasts every other day, not just for like a week or a month, but, you know, months and months and a year. And he sees miracles. He sees the dead raised. He sees the kind of things that we know are going to happen here, but they're not going to happen without some effort. And it's not going to be all Pastor Dave. Can I hear an amen? This is not a spectator sport. We are participants. We have as much responsibility in this as he does. And we cannot lay this all at his feet. I've never seen a man like him. Never. That will give themselves to God so wholeheartedly. But if I miss my responsibility of carrying my portion of this revival, I'm going to really miss out. And so will you. It's going to mean that you're going to change your life. The way you live has to change. Can't be the same. We can't have revival doing the same things we've done before. That's insanity to think we're going to have something different as a result when we do the same thing all the time. There has to be a change. If we want something different, we have to change in order for that difference to happen. What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing differently? And this is not just one of these kind of messages that you're just going to leave here. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that by the Holy Ghost, that these words will come back into their ears after they leave here, days and weeks from now. They're going to remember these words, because it's not me. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just the one sent to carry the mail. This is the word that you want spoken here tonight. And I believe that it is piercing their hearts, and it is propelling them to action, to do something that they haven't done before, to set the food aside, to do something, to fast, to be changed. In Jesus' name. I'm serious when I say this. I'm just the mail carrier. This is God. This is not just me. And if you neglect to do something with this message, you're going to be missing what God has for you. It's something good. He wants something good for you. But it's going to require you to take some steps, some measures that aren't comfortable. I'm sorry. I wish it was easy. It ain't easy. But I've never found anything in life worth anything that didn't cost me something. All right? It's going to cost you a little bit. It's going to cost you some missing some meals or whatever you are able to work out. You talk to the Holy Ghost. Talk to Jesus. Let Him give you some instructions. He may stretch you a little bit. Talk to your doctors. You know, check all that stuff out. Don't do this foolishly. Don't. What I don't want you to do is this. I don't want you to run out and start trying to do a 40-day fast tomorrow. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Don't do that. Have some common sense. Good gracious. I mean, try a day. Like Gary said, you know, he tries, sorry Gary, I know you're going to hear this. Tries to fast a day and he gets through breakfast and lunches. It's too hard to pass up. Well, you know what? Then there's the next day. You know, there's the next day. Just give it another shot. Maybe don't get through that day, then try another day. But don't give up. It's the process of change. And I'm a goal-oriented person, and that's one. It's good in some ways. It's a problem in other ways. Because I always had the idea, okay, I'm just going to. The goal is ministry. That's the goal. So I'm going to get so focused on that, I'm going to reach that goal and I'm going to attain that. It's ministry. No, that was wrong. The goal is me changing. The ministry follows everything else. The goal is me changing from the inside out. So, when you're thinking about this fasting, when you're thinking about the change, don't focus on the pain. Focus on the change. The change that's going to be produced as a result of it. And there will be change. I can assure you, you will change. You will not be the same. And then, when those attacks come, you're going to have joy coming out of you. You're going to have peace. That was another scripture. Before I stop, I really feel like I need to share that one scripture. Go back to Philippians. Look at chapter 4. Because this is, as you look at the chronological order of how he wrote this letter and how he finished this letter, really, really striking how he finishes in chapter 4. Let's go to verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Have no care for anything. Now remember where he's at. Remember what he's experiencing. And he's telling these people, don't have any care. Why? I don't have any care. Paul, how can you say that? You have to have care. Look at where you're at. No, I have no care. I've cast my care. I've left it at the cross. I have no care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, that resounding peace that only comes out of that born-again new nature, the peace the world wishes they had, and they don't. It's the peace that you can have, that you can live in. The love, the joy, the peace, everything that Paul talks about in Galatians when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on. All of that you can live in, but you have to cultivate it. You've got to be willing to put the flesh aside long enough to allow that new nature to develop, along with your praying in tongues, along with your meditation in the Word. You can do this without sitting there praying. Just fast a day while you're working. You can pray as well, but you don't have to. It'll still have an effect. Has anybody received anything tonight? Because I really kind of feel that sense that you're getting it. You're getting it. Well, this is what he showed me to do. I'm reluctant to just, you know, have a line, lay hands on you. Because I want you to get this from God yourself. I want you, if you want to experience some of this grace that I'm talking about, so that you can launch into this fasting, it will help you. I want you to stand up. If you want this, I want you to, as she plays, we're going to believe and we're going to lay hold of this. And that's what's happened with me. I'm very glad it has happened. Because, you know, I'm several days into this now. It's not a total fast. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just like... But it's enough. This is an example that God showed me. You know, there's water fast. There's all kind of fast. You know, and it's the difference between whether or not you're the microwave kind of person or you're the slow cook kind of person. I'm being slow cooked right now. Now, if you want to be a microwave, you'll be done quicker than me. That's fine. It's not a race. But I'm kind of slow cooking. But I'm, you know, at the end of the day, you're still going to have dinner. You know, it's still going to be, it'll be done. So, let's raise our hands. We love you, Father. Father, I believe this is the word that you want to deliver to these people tonight. I believe it with all my heart. Heavenly Father, just as you have extended to me a measure of grace to fast, I believe right now in the name of Jesus, as these people have raised their hands and they've stood to their feet and they've said, I want to take that step. I want that grace to help. Right now, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's being released. Everyone, just see in your mind's eye, just see yourself receiving from the Father that grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. We receive it now. And just say that, Father, I receive. I receive the grace to fast in Jesus' name. We worship you, Father. Just thank the Father. Thank Him because you have it. You've received it. He's strengthened you. You're going to do what you thought you could never do before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We glorify your name. Thank you, Father. We will be changed. We will receive this revival. We will not lay it on someone else to do it. We'll do it. We'll carry our part of this. We'll carry it. We'll do what you ask us to do. We'll listen to you. We'll follow your instructions, Father. We commit ourselves to the process. And Father, we believe that in this process, we will live in a life of joy. Not because our circumstances may look great or not, but because joy is coming out from the inside of us. And it's attracting those that are around us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you came for prayer this evening, I will believe God with you. And we will receive whatever it is that you have need of, financial need, physical need. I will believe God with you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being attentive and for hearing what the Holy Ghost has wanted to say. Thanks.